Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Well, you can be seated. Amen. Well, good morning, Harvest Church. Amen. It's always a joy to come and bring the Word of God. And you know, God is so good. He's so faithful to us all the time. And you know, it's our year of expansion. Amen. How many of you are feeling stretched so far this year? Amen. It's been a tremendous year for us as a church. And you know, God really is taking us, you know, as we say, it's become almost like a cliche, from glory to glory. But you know, with God, the only direction of travel is up. Amen. Amen. God always has more for us. You know, the Bible says he's able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond all that we can ask or even dare to imagine. So that's the heart of God for each one of us. I want to speak this morning about something that I have titled Comfort Zone. Your comfort zones. If I said, you know, it's a really cold winter's day, and it's freezing outside, it's been snowing, you get home, you know, how many would just like a hot cup of tea? Something hot to drink. Yep, you said it straight away. And if it was maybe it was cold in the house, but in your bedroom, you've got this lovely warm duvet, yeah? Or, you know, or quilts or something, you know, you want to just dive in and get underneath and keep warm, yeah? And so that right there is your comfort zone. You know, on the flip side of that, you could, let's say that you're on holiday in Dubai and it's 40 degrees. It's sweltering hot. You know, I'm an African, Nigerian, and even when I went to Dubai, it was like so hot for me. I was craving for an air-conditioned room, to be in an air-conditioned car, because it was so hot. You know, so that there would be my comfort zone. So if it was, you know, if you're from a traditionally cold country and you get into the heat, you know, you feel it even more than the people who live there. So often as human beings, we're what I call creature-seeking creatures, aren't we? We love comfort. And, you know, we see the adverts and the commercials on telly that just speak about luxury. So, for instance, how many of you like camping outdoors? You like being out in the wet and wild and just, you know, setting up your tent, you know, a gale force wind blowing, but, you know, you're holding it down and stuff. Yeah, people are smiling. No? Nobody? Yemi, is that really true? Or are you just putting your hand up to be different? And so, you know, most of us, we prefer like the luxury of a nice 5-star hotel. Wouldn't that be nice? And right from the hotel entrance, you know, the butler comes and he carries your luggage. He said, no, you just need that. I'll do that. It's got wheels, but no problem. I'll do that. And he takes your luggage to your room and it's all there. And so, you know, we like that. So as human beings, you know, we like the comfort and we like the stability, if you like, that, you know, comfort provides. But, you know, I believe that to receive certain things, we have to get out of that place because, you know, with comfort as well can often come complacency. How many of you have seen those signs on the road? You know, you may not even, you don't need to be a driver, but you've seen the big flashing signs that say, don't drive tired. Who's ever seen that? Yeah, don't drive tired. Yeah. So what's that saying? It's a warning that, you know, if you're tired, you know, how many of you are drivers here? Yeah. How many have actually felt tired when you've been driving? Yeah, I put my hand up first, yeah. You know, you felt tired, either you've had, for whatever reason, either you've had a busy day or a hard day at work or something, and you're just tired. And you know, your body's telling that you need sleep. But you know, when you're behind the wheel in that car doing 40 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour, 70, whatever it is, you know, that's not the time to switch off. Yeah? How many would agree with me? It's not the time to switch off. We've got to stay alert. You know, you can't afford to take your foot off the ground. You can't afford just to nod off because, you know, even for a second, if you know, even for a second, it can be fatal. You know, it can have very severe consequences. And so, don't drive tired is a real, you know, hazard. It's a real warning that all drivers need to adhere to. But I want to say that, you know, for us coming out of our comfort zones, you know, there are two things that there are two things that always challenge us. And you know, Pastor Paul kind of touched on this at the all night. How many of us were at the all night? Yeah, wasn't that great? Wasn't it a great time? You know, it was just an awesome time there. But you know, Pastor Paul challenges us. And then he spoke about, you know, let me just use his exact words, because passivity, that's the one, yeah, about passivity. And he said that there are two that will always confront us. And he said it's what? The pain and sacrifice. You know, pain and sacrifice will always be called upon, you know. We'll always challenge the one, you know, who is passive. And we've always got to guard against. You know, and I think of Joseph in the scriptures. You know, Joseph went through some pain. You agree? You know, the first thing that happened to him, you know, was that he was stripped of his coat. You know, his father gave him his coat, that famous coat of many colors. And his brothers hated him for it because he was daddy's favorite. And his brothers hated him, and they stripped that coat of him. Now, I call it the coat of human affection. And when that coat was removed, you know, not only did they strip him of his coat, but then they threw him in a pit. And then they sold him as a slave. You know, but he put on a new coat then. It was the coat of slavery. And he was humbled. But over and over again, the Lord says, there's a recurring phrase in that story, that the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with him, even in the midst of his adversity, in the midst of that slavery, in the midst of the pressure. God never left him, but all those things were still happening to him. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 24, that except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. And so, you know, speaking about pain that is involved, there is pain and sacrifice that is demanded of each one of us. Amen? And so, Jesus said that, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die. And so often in our life, we have to die, I say, first of all, to self. You know, we have to die to those creature comforts often that we like so much in order for the will of God and for the purpose of God to be fulfilled in our lives. Because otherwise, see, those things then become hindrances. We need to learn how to turn our obstacles into stepping stones. Amen? We need to learn how to step on those things that the Satan wants to put in front of us in order to trip us up. You know, his plan is for those things to trip us up. I think Joseph put it this way, that the thing that was meant for evil, God turned it around for good. You see, that's the heart of God. God has a way of turning the things that the devil means to trip you up, to become an obstacle, to make you fall over. God turns them into stepping stones. God wants to make your test become a testimony. Amen? So God wants to make your test a testimony. Amen? So God wants to give you something out of the adversity that you're going through in life. And so in this year of expansion, there are three things that God just highlighted to me, that each one that will help us to really reach fulfillment in our year of expansion. And the first thing I've put is focus. Everyone say focus. You know? And so focus. You know, the scripture that God gave me is one of my favorite scriptures, which is in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and the 14th verse. Philippians chapter 3 and the 14th verse. Hallelujah. There we go. It says, I press towards the goal for the prize. I'm going to pause there for a second. I press towards the goal for the prize. I call it eyes on the prize. Yeah? You know, when athletes are in a race and at the starting block, you know, where is their focus? Where do you think their focus is? Yeah? It's at the end. It's on completing the race. It's at the end, isn't it? They want to get, you know, each one of those athletes is focused on getting the goals. How many think that when you get in, when they're on the starting block, they think, okay, I want to come third. I want to come last. No. Everybody goes for the goal. Not all of them will get gold. There can only be one winner. Sometimes two if they're both at the same second or millisecond, because they can measure it so well these days. But each one, the focus is on the gold, on the prize. I remember when God spoke to my own heart and said, go for gold. In other words, you know, I knew exactly what he meant. Go for the prize. Even if you might not reach it in reality, but that is where your focus needs to be. You know, my wife, Mary, she's one of the most focused individuals that I know because I've watched her. You know, I live with her. And I see the strength of her focus. You know, she's a wife. She's a mom. She's now a newly qualified mental health nurse. She's a leader in Harvest Church here. So she has different hats that she wears. But the way that she does it is because she has a tremendous sense of focus. And so sometimes, you know, she's so focused that, you know, you're trying to talk about something and she hasn't even heard you, even though you've said the words, because she's kind of in what I call the zone. You know, how many have been like that, you know, sometimes? No, we've all been like, or you're at work, you know, you're concentrating on something. At that moment in time, you kind of block out or you tune out other things. You know, it's like the radio and you're looking for a particular channel and it goes, and it's tuning, it's going past the station, and then suddenly it hits the right channel, okay? And then it comes into sharp focus. Or in the camera lens, you know, the image that it's looking at can be fuzzy, and then as you adjust the lens, the picture becomes, you know, 100% sharp and clear. And so we need focus, because if we don't have focus, then our chances of reaching or achieving what we want to achieve are much reduced. And so the number one thing there is for us to be focused. And so Paul the apostle there was saying, if we back up some verses, he says, while I don't consider the things or that I've achieved already, but I press. So there's a pressure that is needed, that needs to come from the inside of us for the things that we want to achieve in God. So number one thing is focus. Everyone say focus. And number two thing I put there is encouragement. You know, sometimes we need some encouragement. How many here need some encouragement? Yeah? I believe that each one of us needs it along the way. We all need encouragement for the things that God, you know, we know that God has good things for us in store. We know that God loves us. We know so many things, but still we need encouragement. You know, sometimes there can be adversity or tragedy strike our lives. And so I remember, you know, the story of David when Ziklag was attacked and destroyed. You know, and that was a low point or a low moment in David's life. Yeah? And we see that in I think it's in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 30 and verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6. And the key phrase there is that David encouraged himself in the Lord. Turn to your neighbor and say, encourage yourself. Say, encourage yourself in the Lord. You see, sometimes if no one else is going to encourage you, guess what? You need to encourage yourself. Amen. You need to tell yourself, chin up. You know, the Bible said the righteous gets knocked down seven times, but he gets up again. He gets up again. You see, it's not how many times you fall, it's how many times you can get up. You keep bouncing back. Someone said you can't keep a good man down. It's like a ball. I love this illustration that, you know, a football or a ball filled with air. Try and hold it down underwater. Push it down. Push it right down to the floor of the pool and then let go. What happens? It comes up with such what it can actually spring out of the water. But you've held it down. You can't keep a good man down. You see, the Holy Ghost is in you. Amen. You have the comforter. You have the strengthener, the one who lives on the inside of you. And because he's in you, okay, you keep bouncing back up. And so we mustn't allow ourselves to become discouraged. And we need to encourage ourselves. You know, you need to watch the peer group or the friends that you keep. Amen. So you need to watch the peer group or the friends that you get. Are they people that encourage you? Yeah? Are they people that encourage you or that tear you down? Someone said there are four kinds of people. You know, no prize for guessing. Those who can subtract something. You know, there are people who always give me. You know, I had a friend in school. And every time, you know, kind of walk past, he'd look at you and you just knew. He'd say, have you got a fiver there on you or something, a spare fiver, you know, just some loose change. He was always, you know, he was also kind of like that. You know, this was way back in school days. And he was always, you know, he never had any money. Or if he had, he never let anybody know. He always had that persona that I don't have anything, so please give me something. Please give me something. You know, in Nigeria, I think this still happens now, at the even at the border. Corruption is so rife that, you know, the actual officials who are working there, who are meant to be like acknowledging and welcoming people into the country, they kind of lean forward and whisper to you and say, have you got anything for us then? As particularly if you're on from an international flight, so you're coming from the UK or America or somewhere, they're asking the passengers who are arriving what they brought for them. And you think, hang on a minute, you know? And if that sounds strange to you, that's because, you know, you've not been exposed to these economies. But they are so hungry, so needy, that they're asking the passengers for a gift, for a bribe, essentially. What have you brought for us? You know, I remember a friend of mine, he said, he just wanted to humor them. And he said, so do you know that place called Trafalgar Square in the UK? And the guy thought, and this is the custom official guy there. And he said, yeah, I know that. He said, yeah, you know that big building and stuff. The guy said, yeah. He said, okay. He said, we're the ones who wash it and wash it and we wash it. And the guy was like, so in other words, he was just saying to that, look, I haven't got anything, you know, I'm a laborer. You know, I'm a cleaner that I just wash, you know, I just wash the buildings, you know, in Trafalgar. So that's what I do. But, you know, God, but you want to encourage yourself in the Lord. And so I was talking about the four friends. And so the ones that always want to take something from you. And then there's ones that divide. You know, Bible says gossip divides friends. There are those who just throw a spanner in the works and always bring, you know, there's always some kind of contention around them. And so, you know, the Bible says there is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword. And so some friends can be divisive and just speak words that are negative and tear down. You don't want those kind of friends. And then there are those that add, that contribute something to you. Amen? Amen. How many want some friends like that? Yeah. Someone who's going to add something. We all do. Because, you know, someone said, if you're the smartest person in your group, then you need to find a new group. So you need friends that probably know a little bit more than you that can contribute and add some benefits to your life. So that each time you sit with them or you encounter them, you know, they're always ministering something good. They're always inputting into your life. They're taking you up. They want to pull you up. So if they're higher than you, they want to pull you up to be at their level, to be where they are. And then there are those that multiply. And how many want friends like that, that really multiply, that really after you've encountered them, that experience has left you refreshed, has left you better than when you met them. So those are four kinds of friends that we all need to have in our life. And the third and final point here is persistence. I call it persistence and perseverance. Okay? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Ephesians 6 and 13. And it speaks about, got it here, it says, having done all to stand. Ephesians 6 and 13. Who's in the box today? Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. 14, please. It says, stand therefore. I'm going to pause right there. What are you standing there for? Stand therefore. And having done all to stand, stand. It speaks about resistance. You see, for us to really expand in this year of expansion, for us to truly be fulfilled, there has to be a resistance. There has to be a determination. It says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. God wants us to persist. God wants us to prevail. Amen. God wants us to be all that he has called us and anointed us to be and to become. Amen. The Bible says the greater one is within you. And so you can do what God's word says that you can do. But you know, there's a devil out there who wants to stop you, who wants to hinder you. And so it says, having done all to stand, you know, stand therefore. And then it goes on and just lists a whole host of things there that we need to have. It says, having girded your waist with the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. See, these are all ingredients. Let's go on. It says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, everyone say above all. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all, not just some, but all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Amen? Amen. And so this is God's plan for us in 2017, that we're going to prevail, that, you know, that we're going to withstand all the fiery darts of the wicked one. So those three things I'm going to recap there. So number one is focus. We need to have a clear sense of focus on what God wants us to focus on. Amen? Amen. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. Amen? Amen. To be encouraged. And we need to persist and to prevail and to stand. Shall we stand to our feet? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just have someone on the keyboard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. See, someone says, you know, God loves us too much to leave us the way that we are. Amen? So God wants us out of our comfort zones so that we can get into the God zone. So it's not the zone of the comfort of the flesh, but it's the zone that God wants us to be in. And so this morning, I just want us to commit our hearts to the Lord, that say, Lord, I want you, I'm happy for you to move me out of my comfort zone so that I can be in the God zone, so that I can be in that place that you want me to be in 2017. That place, you know, I know what God's zone is. It's the zone of victory. Amen. It's the zone where he said, no, God puts it this way. He says, I wish above all things. There's another above all. Above all, what does he want you to be? Above all, he wants you to be in health and to prosper. And he says, even as your soul prospers. That's the heart of God for you. That's the heart of God for me. That's the heart of God for each one of us. That we should be in health and prosper. But it's the God zone. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, because it's your desire for us, Lord, to come out of our zones of comfort, Father, out of the zone of complacency, Father, and to come into the zone, the God zone, Father. The zone, Father, where we're in health and where we're prospering, Lord, in you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for 2017, that this is our year of expansion. Our year, Father God, Lord, where we're being stretched, Heavenly Father. And that though it may be uncomfortable, Lord, in the natural, we know that the rewards are so much greater, Father, than we can even ask or imagine. And so, Father God, we bless each person, Lord, here today, Father. Lord God, that we will, Heavenly Father, rise to the challenge, Heavenly Father. Every challenge, Father, we call it a stepping stone in the name of Jesus, Father. Lord, in whatever area of our life it is, Father, whether it's to do with our family, whether it's to do with children, Father, whether it's to do with spouses, Father, whether it's to do with work or business, Heavenly Father. Lord God, that you will take us, Heavenly Father, into that zone, into the realm of rich fulfillment, that you may be glorified in our lives, but that our tests will become testimonies, Heavenly Father, and that your name will be glorified. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. We give you all of the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And his people said, amen. 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 Hallelujah.